Things might be louder on my end in terms of the train, and you might hear a rooster now and then.
Excellent.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is that too loud?
That's good.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins, and I'm out. Cut the junkie. Painting on a canvas in a plastic eyeball, a spray paint in the lake known as Massmanock, broadcasting live from a shed. I'm Mad Carl.
I'm Normal Andy.
I'm producer Chris.
And welcome to the Art Shed. Whoa, that went...
Wow, Carl, that was like some freestyle rapping you were doing there.
Yeah.
That went smoother than I actually expected it to.
You did. It did start to build a rhythm there. I didn't expect it to totally kind of roll into a rap.
Yeah.
Like Andy needed a turntable to back out there.
I did. Or if I was good at beatboxing, I should have done that.
Well, it was completely stolen with a couple words altered, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of the word altered, that your intro reminded me of the movie Altered States.
What?
Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
What? You were talking about when you were a monkey. I mean, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen that movie.
So that reminded you of...
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the whole...
Altered States. Was that like the deprivation tank one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes back in time.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked Altered...
It's got some great visuals in it.
No, see, I liked Altered States, but I think it was like... By the end, it jumped the shark. It, like, you know how a lot of movies start off really awesome and it's going in this awesome direction, but then they don't really know where to take it? You know what I mean? Like, I think
especially back in the day.
Yeah. Especially if they don't have the effects that they need, right? Right. Especially that one, you know.
They had awesome effects in that movie.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Right. But I just thought it was going in a much better direction. And who was the star of that? It was he's a pretty big star. Yeah. Do you know who it is?
I you know, somewhere in my head I do.
Chris?
Jeff something?
Jeff Daniels? No.
No.
We should pause this and
was it didn't up. He also play an alien like a couple of years after that, or was that someone different? No, that was Jeff.
That's Goldberg.
That's Jeff Lebowski.
That's Jeff Goldbrick or something.
No, yeah. I forget. I don't know.
Star, Altered State star, okay. Fuck it. Altered State jacket? What the fuck is that? Like, I look... that's so far from the...
William Hurt.
William Hurt, right.
Yeah.
This has been Movie Corner.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
All right, so... So this is a true McNap. We have no guests.
No guests.
People, I mean, the Art Shed has deteriorated into, like, nobody wants to come here.
No,
I'm acting.
We haven't been asking people. Yeah.
And also, everything's reopened, and so people now have better things to do.
Right, yeah. Totally. And in fact, me and my wife went to a bar tonight, and then so I was completely unprepared. That's why I came up with that intro. I just wrote it on the fly and stole it on the fly, maybe.
What was it ripping on?
Plagiarized?
Yeah,
plagiarized on the fly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was ripping off...
it was Beck, wasn't it?
Beck, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Wow, he even recognized it. Perfect.
I did.
Yeah, thank you. In the time of chimpanzees.
Sounds like a guy with a cart approaching.
Bring out your dad.
What do you think he wants?
He probably wants a plague fact, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Chris, do you have a plague fact?
I've got a plague fact, yeah. And this is kind of related to, you know, Carl. I don't know if this one aired yet. I think it did. Yeah, it did.
It did? Okay.
Yeah, where Carl got some order number 666. And so then I was thinking of 1666.
Uh-huh.
And...
Oh, right. Order number 666. Now I remember that. Yeah. That was last week, probably.
Right. So, you know, sticking with our satanic number theme. yeah. keep that going. Basically, in 1666, London was hit with another wave of the plague. It was hit like every decade or so with a big wave. And so it was hit really hard. And it was finally stopped by the Great Fire of London in September of that year. And then they really went for a long, long time. I don't think they ever had anything nearly a wave of the plague nearly as bad as the ones they'd had previously after that. And it was probably because it burned up all the rats.
So. Cure by fire.
Yeah. And so that's another, you know, that's another cure for a plague is to burn down your city.
Burn everything down.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Down. It seems like a pretty drastic, harsh cure.
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah, it works. I mean, it's literally sacrificed everybody for the future.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know we've had some plague facts a little closer to home, Carl. Kind of like more related to the art shed directly.
In winter? Yeah. Winter, a harsh winter.
I mean, can you tell people about how the plague has visited the art shed?
Well, I mean, over the winter, I built up the art shed and it's nice and warm in here. I hear mice rattling around in the rafters. And so when I built the art shed, there was one extra piece of drywall and we just put it up in the rafters and it became like a little shelf. So I would store paintings up there.
You just lie them down flat.
And then in one of my paintings, which I really, so a while back that like years ago, mice settled down in one of my paintings and I had to throw it out. And then I thought I cleaned everything up and, you know, got rid of them. And then this winter, it wasn't like a really awesome painting, but it was like a painting that I painted over multiple times. And it was a Viking ship and like Vikings fighting a Kraken. But then I painted over it with all this lightning and it was like a Spartan warrior that looked like Zeus. Actually, it's pretty fucking cool. And the mice settled into that one. I mean, I didn't think anybody was going to buy it or anything. I just liked it. You know what I mean? So I had to destroy that one, throw that out. So then I was pissed and I took that drywall and I smashed it to pieces and I threw it out. And then I jerry-rigged in the rafters. I'm like, okay, so the mice like, you know, if they're flat. So I jerry-rigged I got a bunch of 2x4s and I nailed them to the rafters and made little, what would you call those things, Andy?
Little hanging shelves.
Hanging shelves. So that there's no like place for anybody to settle down. And it actually stores more paintings. And then I'm going to put like hooks in the rafters and hang paintings in front of the hanging shelves. So it'll be like, there'll be more paintings hanging up. So in the long run, it's a better scheme.
Yeah, it's like the shelf is just the length of a 2 in the 2x4.
So, yeah. There's no flat plate for anything to go in. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's 2 2x4s. There's 4 2x4s, but there's no like bottom to the shelf, and the paintings just sit up on a 2x4. You know what I mean? Like, but there's nowhere for anybody to like live.
Right. It's very professionally done, Chris.
We should put a picture on Instagram. It's such a hack job that I would not want any person to like actually look at it.
So after you installed all that, were all these mice like falling to their deaths?
No, I mean, it, the thing is, it got to be like 90 degrees, so they all left. You know what I mean? I put a bunch of mouse traps and took care of a couple of them. And
he warred with the mouse for a few weeks.
They leave during the summer. You know what I mean? They go out to the land and start eating.
Oh, they go to the Cape. Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, so they're gone. You know, there's no mice. I mean, I used to hear them crawling around in the winter. Like right when spring and winter, they're hibernating in the winter. But then when spring hits, I hear them crawling around. And it turned out they were living in the paint in that one Zeus painting. So unfortunately for me, you know, but I mean, I can survive a couple dead paintings. You know, I paint enough art. But, you know, I get attached to some of these, you know, like.
Right.
So, you know how it is.
So are you going to do a painting now of a mouse eating a painting?
No.
No. Painting of you burning a mouse house?
I don't yeah. want to. No, no. I'm trying to like get it out of my head. Trying to wash it from my brain with alcohol, you know, like. So, yeah, pretty much. So I built the thing. So I spent all week. I did no editing. I did no art. I spent all week and I had a drill. So I have a drill. So basically, to put the screws in, I have to drill holes before I put the screws in for them to get deep into the 2x4 enough, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And my drill has battery power of about 10 minutes, and then I have to charge it for 2.5 hours. But it was 90 degrees in the shed. It was like this whole week until now. Now it's nice. It was 90 degrees in the shed. So I would work in here, building, you know, and sawing the 2x4s and drilling the holes. And then all of a sudden, I was in a roll, and then all of a sudden the thing would die. And the drill would die, and I couldn't screw the screws in, and I'd be like, ugh. So I'd have to stop, I'd have to, you know, do something else for an hour and a half until it charged to do it again.
Did you have nails?
Yeah, they don't work as good. They don't work as good. No, they don't. I wanted to screw them in so I could unscrew them and take them out if I ever sold the shed or something. You know what
gotcha.
I mean? I don't want to give somebody.
You're going to sell the shed?
Yeah. Or
just the shed.
It would come with the just house. The, I gotcha. Sold the house.
Okay.
I don't want anybody to get this hack job.
Yeah, he's
going to
bring the shed with him wherever he goes.
I don't want any. Yeah. I don't want
to. Well, I was thinking he was going to be putting it on eBay or something.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Literally, if I took the shelves apart, there would just be a bunch of 2x4s.
Yeah.
And you could build something else with those.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, they're worth a lot these days.
Or yeah. you could use them to club mice.
Yeah.
Right, bring out your mice. Yeah.
So, Carl, you were talking about how things are getting back to normal. You went out to a bar. I mean, maybe, Chris, have you done anything that's kind of the plague is ending?
Experiences? Not in the last week. A little before that, I actually went to a Chicago Fire game.
Nice.
That was pretty normal. And I actually, going to the grocery store that I go to last week, they put up signs saying that you didn't have to wear your mask if you were, if you'd been vaccinated, you right. did not have to wear your mask. But then it's kind of like, I go into the grocery store and there are all these kids who are too young to get vaccinated.
Right.
And so most people were still wearing their masks. And so I still did too, because there were kids there. But then Home Depot, if they don't ask me to, then I probably won't, because I don't see a lot of kids there.
Right.
But I do kind of feel there's a whole group of everyone under 12 who can't get vaccinated yet. So
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just I got some pizza today. I went to pick it up. No one in the whole restaurant, not even the people working there, were wearing masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody.
I felt like I kept my mask on the whole time, but I felt like I knew.
Really?
That. Yeah.
We go to a, but me and my wife, Janine, went to a bar tonight and nobody I had a mask in my pocket,
right.
But I didn't put it on. I just walked in because nobody was wearing a mask. And then you feel weird. I mean, the only reason I'd wear a mask is social shaming.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I feel weird not wearing a mask now.
And I know. I still carry one on me.
Yeah.
And still when I leave the house, because I stopped wearing a mask outside a couple months ago. CDC came out with the study and everything. And I was kind of and even outside, most of the time I pull it down. And then if someone was walking towards me wearing a mask, I'd put it up.
Totally.
But, you know, so I go to walk the dog every day and I go and I lock the house. And then I'm like, I'm forgetting something. I'm like, oh, right, I don't have to wear a mask anymore. And then I leave. But I still have that,
I guess.
Or 2 second brain fart of, oh, yeah, I got to put on a mask.
Yeah.
And you find out, you figure, and then the people that you work with that have been wearing masks this whole time, like you forget what the half of the face looks like. You know what I mean? And then like it looks weird to your brain. Like I think our brains are wired to recognize faces so much that if somebody is wearing a mask every time you see them, and then they don't wear a mask for the first like 10 minutes, they look weird. You know what I mean?
It's true. Yeah.
Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah. It especially like, you know, I mean, this would have been a great time for anybody to get plastic surgery.
Oh God.
I mean, it's probably too late now, but like if you ever wanted to get like a nose job, you could have gotten it done like, you know, last April and then just sort of been like, what? My noses always look like this.
Right.
And people might be holding pictures up against your face and going, it looks different. But
you know. No, I think you would just reassess like how they looked in your mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
And and then you'd be like, oh, they must have looked like this the whole time. But I think you're right. If you wanted a nose job right now, you could go get one and then just wear a mask and nobody would question you for like a couple months.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
You could roll into work with a mask on. We still have to wear masks and work. I should have got a fucking nose job, dude.
Yeah. Oh, well. You know, and I always wonder, too, if there are people who like grew Hitler mustaches during the pandemic. Because they always wanted to, but then they couldn't. You know, because nobody has that mustache anymore. That's not a look that, you know, I mean, it would be called the Charlie Chaplin mustache if it wasn't for Hitler. And it probably would be somewhat popular with hipsters.
Right.
But no, Hitler ruined it for everybody.
Didn't like Michael Jordan try to bring it back at one point?
I think so. Yes.
He did.
Yeah. It's like the only person who could get away with it.
Right. Him or maybe Andy Kaufman.
Right.
Totally. Oh yeah, Andy Kaufman can do anything.
What's his name? I mean, this was in a movie, but what's that movie where the kid has Hitler as an imaginary friend?
Oh, Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good movie. That's great. Yes.
Did that.
Yeah. Did he really grow that mustache?
I don't know. I didn't ask him.
Why wouldn't he? You could just shave a mustache. It's probably pretty easy.
Well, yeah, but then, I mean, it's not bad to have that mustache on a movie set where people know you're playing Hitler.
Right.
But then, like, you go to buy a pack of smokes after the day of shooting, and...
And you're still in costume.
And you're still got that fucking mustache.
I'm sure it's fake, then.
Yeah.
It's probably CG'd on.
It's pretty easy to put a fake mustache on. I mean, it
looks fake even like in real documentary films of him.
Of Hitler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, right. it's just like a bar, you know, it's just a little like blunk.
Right.
It's like, I mean, it's like a piece of Velcro. It's not even a fake mustache.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you just killed the conversation right there. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Carl, time for one of your smooth segues.
Oh, yeah. Right. We're going to have art facts. No, art in the news. That's right.
Okay, art in the news? I don't know. It's the first time we've done it, Carl.
Wait, let's do it again.
Okay.
Okay, people, time for Art in the News.
With your host, Carl Ristina.
Oh, with your host, Art in the News. Andy.
With your host, Carl Ristina.
And Tom Brokaw. Okay, art news. Does anybody have any art news?
I got an art news story, kind of. It's not recent. It's kind of happened... I feel like it happened right before the pandemic hit. There's this artist that it's Maurizio Catalan or whatever. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's done a lot of kind of pieces where they're kind of conceptual. Like he did one that was like a working urinal, and it was a golden urinal. You could pee in it, and it was called America, I think was the title.
Right, yes, yeah.
Didn't Trump do that? Golden toilet?
Oh, yeah, but that was just tacky. This was art.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, he did a piece that was just a banana duct taped to a wall.
Right.
And he made it was like a series of five bananas duct taped to walls, and he sold each of them for like $150,000
at Art Basel.
Yeah, at Art Basel. But then, like, while one of them was hanging at Art Basel, another artist came in and ate the banana.
Right.
He, like, ripped off the wall and ate it. And he said that was his performance piece called Hungry Artist. So the thing I want to talk about is how, like, the art wasn't the banana on the wall. The art was what the people paid for was a certificate that said they could make that piece anytime they wanted. So, like, museums bought that piece.
They could duct tape it.
So they have permission to duct tape a banana to the wall and say it is this artist's
piece. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, so this is what got me thinking about it, is that piece is kind of like what's happening now with like NFTs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the same. It's completely, you're buying like a license, basically, to do something.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, like, so I was going to make some NFTs, and first of all, it costs money to make NFTs. And then I looked and there was so many NFTs, but I do take some really good photographs of my art, you know, and I looked and there was so many NFTs. I'm like, my NFTs are just going to get lost in the NFT. I feel like you have to be famous to make a sellable NFT. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just didn't make an NFT. I'm like I'm going to be the anti-NFT. I'm going to be like, I want to sell a real piece to you. You know what I mean? Like at some point it will come back around.
You're like, I'm only selling fungible things.
I'm only selling fungible.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's weird. The show I'm working on is like announced they're going to make NFTs for the show, which is really weird.
Right.
I mean, it's not weird, it's just,
no, that's not weird. It actually makes
sense. It'll work.
It will work because I think you have to have some sort of celebrity to sell an NFT, right? What do you think, Chris?
I think something just randomly captures someone's attention. And I think now is the time to sell NFTs. The time to buy NFTs is never.
Yeah. Right.
Now's the time to sell. We're at peak Beanie Baby trading levels. Yeah.
No, I agree with you, but I looked and it was like, there was like this, like I read, first of all, to even make the NFT is a freaking pain in the ass. I looked into it and so I couldn't even figure out how to buy Ethereum. Like, then I figured it out. So you have to buy Ethereum to make an NFT. So I bought some Ethereum, and then I was like, and then in between the time that I tried to figure out how to make an NFT and upload it and figure it all out, my Ethereum went up by $100. I swear to God. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep the Ethereum. So then I was like, I don't want to spend this Ethereum. I'm just going to hold on to it. Because I was thinking, like, it's probably more worth it for me to save the Ethereum than to actually spend the Ethereum and try to sell some of my art.
Yeah. Did you buy a whole, like, Ethereum?
No, I bought... You can buy pieces of Ethereum. Ethereum is, like, $2,500.
$2,300 as of the time when we started.
Right. So when I bought it, it was, like, under... Like, so this is a while back. So it was under 2000. So I bought $300 worth because it said you need at least $100 to like make an NFT, right?
What were you making it through?
I don't remember. Yeah. It was like I literally knew nothing like about anything. You know, I didn't know anything about, and actually since then it like brought me on a journey and I learned all about crypto and everything. This was months ago, so I know all about crypto now.
Okay.
But it brought me on a journey. So I was like, okay, I want to make I got to make NFTs, right? To sell them. But how do you do it? And I have no idea, right? So So then it said, buy this Rainbow wallet. So I bought a Rainbow. No, I just downloaded a Rainbow wallet. I don't know what the fuck. I still don't know what a Rainbow wallet is. I downloaded it. And then I'm like, okay, now you have to buy some Ethereum. So I went to PayPal and I bought Ethereum. But the problem is on PayPal, you can only buy and sell Ethereum. You can't transfer it to anywhere, right? So so I was like, I need 100. So PayPal had this scam. I don't know if it's a scam, but they had the thing where you could buy Ethereum, but you can't move it. So I couldn't, you can't even bring it to your wallet. You know what I mean? I literally knew nothing about anything, right? So I bought $300 worth of Ethereum on PayPal, right? And I'm like, I can't take it off, you know, to go right. and buy the NFT, right? So then I'm like, okay, now what do I do? So I started researching crypto, and it's like, go to Coinbase. So I'm like, okay. So then I signed up for Coinbase, and then I had to take a photo of myself and photo of my license and shit like that, and then buy more Ethereum. and then I couldn't figure out how to transfer it to get the, like, and then I went to this other thing, like, so there was like these simple instructions which like seemed simple at the time but weren't so simple. And then I'm like, okay, now I had to upload like these squares of art, which I have tons of squares of art, like high quality art.
Right.
And then I looked on this site. Like, it was so long ago, I forget the site, but the site had like millions and millions of NFTs, and yeah. They all moved, and they all, like, I think I had some cool NFTs, but like, I'm like, okay, I'll have to then I was like, they all moved. So I'm like, okay, now I have to design a GIF. Like, so then I started designing a GIF, and and I was like, you know what? And like, I was trying to do a UFO. Like, I have this cool piece of art that I did, this UFO in this campground, in a piece of art I did on the computer. Okay. It wasn't. So I'm like, I can do a UFO beaming in and out of a campground with this. It was in the Sierra Nevadas, and I was going to make the UFO move around, but when I made it, it like moved too quick, and it, like, I'm like, if this is an NFT, somebody's going to be looking at it and they're going to get too dizzy. And then I'm like, I just spent way too much time on it. And then I looked at my Ethereum at PayPal. It was like 3 weeks later, and the Ethereum had gone up $100. Like, so I originally started with $300 and it went up to $400. So I'm like, you know what? There's so many ETFs. Like, I'm not going to be able to sell a fucking ETF, you know, like, and then what, I don't know how to do like the taxes or implications or, you know, I don't know, you know, anything about it. Like, I'm like, this is going to be a complete cluster F. But what I liked about it is you could do something where if you sold your ETF, you could hardwire into the ETF that you could always get like a 10% piece of it. So if you sold your ETF and then somebody else bought it and then somebody else bought it and somebody else bought it, every time somebody else bought it and they kept selling it for more and
you
more, you get royalties. So I thought that was cool. So I think Andy could probably do an ETF and make money off of it. But me, I'm not like known throughout the world. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I have to get famous first, and then I can do ETFs, I think.
Right. Well, you never know. I mean, I think people don't know what they're doing.
Oh, God.
So really? People might buy anything. Someone might accidentally, there's even a chance of like someone accidentally clicking on it and then being like, oh, fuck, I didn't mean to buy that. And then you've got like $10,000.
I mean, really? But there was so many, like, I mean, dude, it was like a jungle of ETFs and they're all moving around.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah.
Like, and did you see the one that sold for like millions of dollars? The, what's it called? The Beeple?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen
the Beeple?
I did. I saw that one a while back. Yeah.
I mean, that's just fucking ridiculous. It's like a unicorn's. So I'm working on a project. I filmed a whole painting that I did, and I'm working on it for like a video for somebody, and I can't really. So I was obsessed with doing this painting. Like my buddy like is doing like an album, and he has this.
He was a past guest on the show.
He was a past guest, but I can't release this painting that I did that I took. It took like 3 weeks, and it was like steamingly hot in the shed when I was painting it, and like it's super detailed, and I filmed the whole thing while I was painting it. So it's going to be a video. It's literally but I filmed it in stop motion, so it's literally like 10 minutes of like time lapse of me painting this thing. And it's like, what did you say? Do you think, Andy, the pieces of it, do you think the piece is pretty intense? It's
pretty intense. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. It took a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. So maybe you covered all the bases of that one.
You know, what?
Said you covered all the bases with that one.
Oh, right. I can't wait to release it. But the problem is my buddy with the album has to get his shit together for me to release anything. But it just, you know how if you work on something for so long, you want to release it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
or you just want to get it out of your life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of happy with it, you know, so. But whatever. Eventually it will be released if my buddy gets his shit together.
Cool.
Yeah. Chris, do you have art news?
Yes, my art news.
Just to remind everyone,
my art news is breaking. We're talking about something that happened less than an hour ago.
Holy shit.
The logo for Welcome to the Art Shed is up on sale as an NFT at Rarity or Rarible.
Rarible. What?
Yeah,
you got Rarible. Yep.
Find that website so we can tell people to go. The only people who
are
not that.
It's at Rarible. At the end of the podcast, I will post it to our Instagram account and I'll put a link to it in our bio. But the logo is on Rarible, which I think also gets posted to OpenSea. So the logo for Welcome to the Art Shed is available for purchase as an NFT. Although we should make t-shirts.
Oh no, I thought that a
minute. NFT t-shirts.
No, but Chris.
Yeah.
How much Ethereum did it cost you?
Yeah, Chris, how many hundreds of Ethereum?
Oh, I don't think it cost me anything. I don't know.
How did you do it?
Like I went online and I followed the directions.
Pure moxie.
It's tied to an account that has had money in it in the past, but it doesn't have anything in it. It hasn't for a few years.
I thought you were supposed to give them money. I totally failed in my NFT hunt. But you made an NFT.
Made an NFT. So I will post a link to it in our Instagram account. And it was being verified when I walked away from my other computer, not my old computer.
That's amazing, dude.
Oh, yes. So.
You succeeded where I completely failed.
And it took me about 5 minutes.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but Carl, you went on an epic adventure of knowledge. I know.
Carl had a lot more fun. Yeah. I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
I actually made money, probably more money than I would selling art.
The real NFT was the friends you made along the way, Carl.
Right, exactly. I really went on a journey.
Yeah, that was like the hero's journey.
It really
was.
It really was. It was a fucking disaster.
Yeah. So like, I priced it at one Ethereum, so that's about $2,300.
Hey, it's worth it.
Or wait a week. It might be a nickel in a week. You don't know.
Do they bid?
People can.
Oh, well, if Ethereum falls to it. No, it's only going up from here, Chris.
Yeah. Famous last words.
That's awesome, dude. Nice work. I'm proud of you, man.
Thanks. So,
we're at the cutting edge of technology and art.
No, we are the sign that both NFTs and cryptocurrency have jumped the shark.
Exactly.
It is official now. Get out of the market, both of them, instantly. We have broken them.
It's literally when Coinbase went on the market, like they crashed everything, like the peak. Mm-hmm. You know, right, exactly. Right.
Exactly, yep.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
It was our own Beeple. And I think where you just went for simplicity. You were like, fuck this, I'm not making any animation.
Right, right.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
I didn't even look at any other ones. I was like, we're selling what we're selling, and I don't give a fuck what anyone else is selling.
Dude, that's take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I you know what the problem is? I stared into the sun, man. I stared at like I went to the cliff and I was gonna jump off, and I stared into the water, and I just backed out. I was like, "Holy shit, this is a complete clusterfuck."
Yeah, I think I did more of the coyote thing where I just ran off the cliff and just kept running through the air.
Exactly. That's where you succeeded and I failed. Chris, yeah. I'm proud of you.
So, but I mean, I think, you know, that people aren't looking at them. It's not like they're shopping for a car or something.
Right.
I think just something about it will like pique someone's interest or not. I think most likely what will happen is we'll totally forget about it. And then when one Ethereum is worth like a quarter, 5 years from now or some time down the road when we've forgotten all about it, it will sell for a quarter.
No, that would dare to dream.
Or if one Ethereum is $100,000, it will sell for $100,000. Yeah. Right? I mean, like I saw somebody like literally.
I mean, we should do NFT updates on the podcast, though.
Well, I've seen some people like put some art up there that I know my art is better than theirs, and there's like literally making money hand over fist. But I mean, they're known, you know what I mean? Like, I'm nobody, you know what
right.
I mean? Like,
so if you're a friend of Carl's who is making NFTs right now, know that his art is better than yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And he doesn't respect you.
No, not a friend of mine. I've literally seen random people on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not my friends.
All right, sorry, Carl.
Their art is better, as good as mine. I'm saying random doofuses on Instagram.
I mean, Andy, now you're on there, so he's saying it to you.
I know.
Yeah, right. I mean, right, that's definitely.
Right, I know, yeah. I mean, I know you asked me, Chris, before you did it.
I did,
okay,
yes.
But... Yes. Do you think people are just putting NFTs up of somebody else's artwork?
Oh, definitely all the time. Yeah, it's happening like crazy. And some of the, you know, outlets that sell them are encouraging people to do that. And there's nothing you can do because it's not the copyright. People are selling basically like, I think the link. It's so abstract. The whole concept of it makes no sense to me, really. And I mean, hell, I can explain Foucault to you. I understand what he's talking about and Benjamin. I mean, I was in art school at the peak of postmodernism, and I had to work my brain through all that stuff. And I still look at this and I'm like, why are you buying this? It makes no sense.
Is there that many NFTs selling?
Yeah, apparently so.
I mean, this new painting I did is literally a square, and it could be an awesome NFT. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if Josh ever releases his album and I get to like post my art, we can make it an NFT. Yeah, that should be it. Yeah, that's what I'll have to do. Yeah. But I have to have Josh get his shit together, which
let him make his art. It'll be ready when it's ready.
Yeah, right, exactly. Fine.
I think the whole thing is just an example of how there are some people out there with way too much money.
Yes.
Like, if you're sitting there spending $69 million for an NFT, like, I mean, I guess you're thinking either... The only logical thing is that you are thinking that you can sell it for more than that at some point in the future. But why?
No, but Chris, this is it. here's the thing is, I think they're young people who literally, like, what's it called? YOLO'd, like, a bunch of, like, bitcoins, like, for $1, and they're now, like, 5 million. So they're fucking super rich. They didn't, like, struggle, like my whole life I struggled to make, like, I was, like, I always thought, like, you gotta fucking work hard and do this, and that's totally untrue. You know, you have to fucking just YOLO, you know, and I wish I YOLO'd at some fucking point, but I never did. You know what I mean? Like, so now I'm like, holy shit. Like, so say you were 20 years old and you dropped out of school and you had fucking $50 and you YOLO'd it into a bunch of fucking Bitcoin when it was like 30 cents and now you have $50 million. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to buy an NFT for a half a Bitcoin. What do you give a shit? It was a 50 cents to you.
Yeah, but some of these things are going for millions.
Okay, well,
I see what you're saying with the people buying things for a couple thousand here and there. But, you know, 69 million, I think that was the most paid so far.
But, well, once you had, okay, the Beeple.
Yeah.
The Beeple, I love that name. First of all, calling it something a Beeple is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The Beeple, it was just ridiculous. It's like a unicorn, like flying through a rainbow, right? Right?
Yeah. I think, which one was the Beeple?
It's literally a unicorn, like flying over a rainbow or a Pegasus or something. And like people, like the guy who bought the Beeple is like, I got to figure out how to display this. Like, it's brilliant. Like, I mean, it's awesome, but I mean, is it 69 million? You know, I got to delete this whole fucking art shed because I sound like a fucking curmudgeon.
Well, your whole thing about, you know, talking about the, yeah, because you did sound like a curmudgeon saying all these kids who were like have $50 million at 20 and they don't appreciate it.
Get off my lawn. I gotta really refine myself. I'm just a fucking tool, man.
No. I was just gonna say that it reminded me of a friend who kind of like after a long day of work, she would always say, like, you know, she's like, I can't believe I've bought into this break even slowly scheme they've sold me on.
Right.
That's me, man. Like, what did I do fucking wrong? I have a art fact that's exactly like your art facts. In fact, all of our art facts kind of fucking add together.
Nice.
You guys are awesome. Like so for the audience who don't understand that we don't really talk to each other.
This is this podcast is us talking to each other.
we all looked up art facts completely independent. So, and Chris just made his own art facts. Like, I like that about him. Should I play the breaking?
it's getting better, man.
All right. Salvador. Oh, wait.
Salvador Dali.
Wait, no, hold on.
This is breaking.
All right, wait. Let me read my thing.
No.
Move over, non-fungible tokens. An Italian artist named Salvador Garou recently sold his latest invisible sculpture titled I Am. It isn't. The art does not exist except in the imagination of the artist. Garou, I don't know, says the sculpture may be displayed in any light since it's not there. The buyer gets a stamp certificate in exchange for a payment of $18,000, assuming they can't just imagine it. So basically, this guy imagined a piece of art and he sold it for $18,000, and the buyer gets a certificate that says they own it.
Oh, that probably got ripped off, Carl, because I can imagine that. I can imagine that painting right over there in the corner, man. You have a copy.
Right. I mean, I thought that was the ultimate fuck you to NFTs.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I respect the attack. The Paisans. I love the Paisans.
Yeah. Well,
did
and
you
I mean,
guys hear this? Or...
I didn't read up on it, but I definitely heard about that.
Yeah, yeah.
That just happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I read a little bit about it. I mean, that, you know, to prove that you bought it, you have to like mark out the space where you're going to put it.
Oh, you do?
And yeah. Yeah. So you can't just say, I bought it and now I have it. It's kind of like in your house or wherever you say it's going to be, like you could donate it to a museum. That museum would have to set aside a gallery and mark out a space so there are at least 5 feet around it on each side. There are like all these rules about
right.
The piece does That's not exist awesome. Unless you've provided the space around it. So then the space around it becomes the piece itself, because conceptually he's forced people to create a space for the art, even though it doesn't exist.
That's fucking ballsy. And you know, it says a lot about certificates of authenticity. Everybody wants a certificate of authenticity, Reggie, about everything, right?
Right. Right.
So, I mean,
well, that's... We should make an art shed certificate of authenticity.
So, I mean,
that
really...
you can hang in your shed, and then you can be sitting in the art shed.
I mean, literally, that's what you're paying for, right? The certificate. Like,
right.
To say, the certificate, even if it's just something I wrote out on printed out on a printer and then signed, like, that just makes it more valuable, doesn't it? Like, anything.
Or more official, maybe.
Is it the provenance?
Right. Well, in terms of what? Are you talking about an actual artwork or the NFTs?
Anything. Anything.
Or anything. Well, I mean, I think the thing...
A Beanie Baby.
With
certificate of pasta.
Yes. I think the thing is with a like old historical paintings by well-known people, the idea is it's almost like that person has touched it. It came from their mind. And it's their mind has created this directly so that by looking at it, you can have a more immediate sense and a better understanding of that artist. So that say like if a really rich guy buys a Monet and puts it on his wall, number one, the main thing and why I think most people are buying artwork most of the time that's really expensive is to show that they have enough money to buy artwork that's really expensive. That's right. The only reason they're buying it. And the more better known it is, the better. And that's why it costs more. But then there are people who are really into art. And they either A, are so egotistical that they want to make their own museums. And so they make their house into like a museum to show what their views of art by combining other people's pieces of art because they don't make their own art.
Right.
And then there are people who think they'll understand the artist better if they can sit there and look at it really closely. And that applies to all art students too. I mean, especially when I was at museum school, there were people who would just like, man, he's the best painter. I'll stick with Monet, even though everyone thought he was too popular to be cool when I was in art school. But people would just like look at paintings and do copies of them and really study them over and over again and be like, I really understand it better than you do. Yeah.
Right.
It's a weird, weird thing.
There's also like people who invest in art just to, as an investment.
Yeah. Yeah. And that investment is completely based upon, you know, other people being willing to pay that money. It's like the stock market in some ways. I mean, there are stocks that are worth a lot. You know, at this point, so many stocks are completely disconnected from the profitability of the company, the profit ratio of the company. So it's just kind of like, yeah, people are willing to pay that money. So,
but do you think, so I've seen some pretty amazing art in museums. Is it like just the... I mean, you can't just put anything. I mean, sometimes you can put anything, but I've seen like Gauguin or, you know what I mean? Like some paintings that I've just been like blown away. Is it my expectation or is it just like that painting is fucking awesome?
Did you see that painting before? Like photos or video or
sometimes no and sometimes
yeah
actually sometimes I've seen some an artist that I didn't, so I wish I could remember this artist, but I saw that I was in San Francisco and I saw this painting of like, it was a hawk like flying. It was like looking like it was above, the painting was above the hawk looking down at a city.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, Andy? It was so awesome.
Was I there with you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I assume it was in a museum in San Francisco. It was famous.
Right.
But this artist was so good. I was like, oh my God. It was like a hawk's eye view of a city. It was like, but it was an old timey city. It was so fucking cool. It was like a Pueblo city. I don't know what the hell it was.
Huh.
I can't. I mean, maybe my imagination is remembering back, but I'll have to find it. But I've been in museums where I just like stared at paintings and was like, this person is a fucking genius.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean, I think just some artists are fucking geniuses and awesome. And like you're just like, I can't believe how good of a painter or how cool this is. You know what I mean? I'm blown away by a lot of art. Like, I don't know. It's just hard to describe.
I know what you mean. It's because, I mean, there are definitely artists that I know. I've gotten into everything that they've done, but I literally like stumbled across them just walking around a museum or a gallery or something.
Yeah.
And just kind of turned a corner. I was like, who the fuck painted that? Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's right. Awesome. It's before I moved to Chicago. I came here and I saw paintings by this painter Mata, and I never heard of him. I had no idea that he existed or what was going on with him. But I remember seeing one of Mata's paintings at the Art Institute the first time I came here. And I was just like, oh my God. And I didn't think much about it anymore. And then I saw some other work of his in another exhibit. I was like, oh my God, it's that guy. Like, I knew it, you know what I mean? Instantly. And then I got really into him, and it's, you know, there aren't that many books that you can buy or, you know, ways that you can collect his paintings without buying the actual paintings. And he was like, you know, total modernist in the 50s type guy, 40s and 50s. But yeah, you know, it's like, there is art that it's just kind of like, wow, only that guy did that.
Right. Right. And even, you know, that like even some people who are abstract that just splash fucking paintings, splash paint onto like canvases, like they did it in such a way that you could tell it was them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something about like the hand that created it, like you said. But right. What about the forgers who can just forge like a great piece, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's insane. Like, there's a lot of documentaries on art forgeries. In fact, most art documentaries are about forgeries. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know if most of them are, but there are definitely a bunch. Yeah. Yeah, and they're super. I mean, obviously, anyone who can do quality forgeries is super talented.
Do you think anybody could forge my paintings, Andy?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be
the right
more,
person could.
That would be more work.
Than, I think, yeah, they'd
than
have
at
to like
me actually painting.
They'd have to unlearn a bunch
of
stuff.
I mean, that would be a lot of work. I mean, like something I painted, it would take me a week or two.
Yeah.
It would take somebody like at least a month to forge this hack, you know. Like,
but I think a good forger, like, they study process and they can look at the painting and figure out how you're using the brushes and what pressure you're putting. Like, that's kind of what they know.
I mean, that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they also
have to get into the materials too, because they'll actually do testing, and you can do carbon dating on some stuff too. Right. I mean, you really gotta.
I mean, why aren't those forgeries worth something? I mean, to me, that's almost
some of them are. Yeah.
It's almost more work than the original painting. I mean, not like of the old masters, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, like the old masters were like using mirrors and shit like that. But But I mean,
yeah, no forger has ever used a mirror.
Well, they have modern technology. Yeah. You know, maybe the forgers do use mirrors, but all right, Andy, you're right. The forgers are
super talented.
Are they better paintings than the old masters?
I don't think, you know, they're not. I mean, maybe the thing the forgers are missing is originality.
Yeah, that's right. What they're
you
missing.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's
it. And like the need to, I don't know, because the need to explore and seek out things, but they're exploring other people's styles. So
they're missing originality. That's it. I mean,
you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see a forger start forging works by living artists.
Sure.
Oh,
that would be really cool. Yeah.
I mean, already, the thing is like with technology, you can just, do you hear about that? Who's the guy from New York who like just like writes a comment on somebody's Instagram post and then prints it out and sells it for $100,000? Do you know, Chris, you should know this.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But the reason why it's his original art is because he wrote a funny comment on there. Like, right. I forget his name. He's the same guy who does the balloons.
Oh. Like the balloon dogs?
Yeah. I think
oh,
so.
Jeff Koons?
Yeah, I think that's him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got everybody was.
Right, but he's already mega famous.
Right.
But everybody was pissed off at him.
Yeah.
He should be. Yeah. He must have some NFTs.
Oh, yeah. God.
All right. So I've totally crucified this. I've totally destroyed this episode with my freaking curmudgeonness. Hopefully I wasn't too negative.
I don't think so.
All right. Okay, perfect. I got to delete that part too. All right.
Okay.
So let's pray the, play the, where can you find you guys?
Well, you can find me at andyrastaino.com. That's RASTAINO. And there you can find links to my YouTube and Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and Blogspot. If you look hard
what?
Enough. If you look hard enough, you can find links to that. You can ask me questions.
Just bringing out the Blogspot.
I know. if you want to go back.
Out your Blogspot.
Yeah.
Bring out your blog spots. Who has a blog spot?
I think I might have like 3 or 4 blog spots. I have not updated them in like 10 years, but
I mean, why are you advertising?
Do you have a live journal? I think I have a live journal still.
I had one at some point. I have not checked on that in a long time. Anyway, andyrastaino.com. Chris.
I'm a Live Fire Cook, as always, primarily on Instagram, but if you see Live Fire Cook anywhere online, odds are good it's me.
Okay.
MadCarl.com, MadSpiral.com. And your bartender, and I actually had a bartender today, believe it or not.
Humble brag.
Yeah, right? You don't have to stay here, but you can't go home. Get the hell out of here, kid.
Thanks to Chris and Carl for helping host the show. Thanks to this episode is brought to you by NFTs and Ethereum. Thanks to everyone listening. Thanks to Andy Santospago and Ed Guile for the Mad Carl Stomp. Thanks to Mark for helping edit the show sometimes. Mark Stino, that is.
Yeah, Mark's on board. Yeah, me, Chris, and Mark edited.
Yeah,
so who knows?
Andy's just lazy. And
you do the art.
I do the art. Okay. All right, I'm doing something. check out... if you go to Anchor, you can ask us questions. Ask us questions, people.
Yeah.
How do they ask us questions, Carl? Nobody knows. All right, next week I'll have the answer. I'll have that figured out, and I'll actually say it again. There's a way you can ask us questions. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks, everyone, for listening. That's it. See you guys next episode.